Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means. On the road.
The Long Box Guys gonna do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless at taking over the world. Yes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. My name is Tom Strange. I'm happy to be with you. With me, as always, are some of my best friends since I was a little kid, and some of my new friends that I've met playing D&D or going to different cons or just hanging out in the podcast world. First, I'm going to introduce you to our friend from Gamer Needs Food Badly. That's my favorite podcast. You do a couple others. Seth, how you doing tonight, and what are you drinking?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm not drinking anything today. I'm slipping. I'm slipping. Late day at work.
No kombucha or anything?
No kombucha. This time. I'm dried up.
Is your kombucha still alive, at least?
It's as dry as my vagina when I pour beers in it.
Oof, that's dry. I've seen that dry. It's dry.
That's right.
Donnie, our other good friend who is joining us from the great state of Louisiana, I believe. How are you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm drinking some 2x2 rye by your favorite manufacturer, Basil Hayden.
Basil Hayden, unofficial supplier of scotch to our good friend Tommy. Tommy, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm just drinking some water tonight, but how are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I have an actual Harvey Bullock tonight, which is the remnants of three different bottles of scotch that I only had a little bit of scotch left in. I think I have enough for one more Harvey Bullock tonight. Just a little bit of scotch left in all four bottles, just enough to fill it up and make myself a delicious Harvey Bullock. That brings us over to our good friend Mikey. How you doing? What are you drinking, sir?
I'm doing excellent, and I am drinking a American Hefeweizen from the Widmer Brothers Brewing.
Widmer Brothers Brewing. Josh, is that a good beer?
I like Widmer. They make some decent beer.
Josh is our beer snob, aficionado. What are you drinking tonight, buddy?
Tonight I am drinking the powerhouse of pungent citrus, a hurricane from Treehouse, rolling in at 7.7%. It is delicious and a killer.
Is it citrusy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Save me one of those. I'm always asking you to find me a beer I'll like. I do like the citrus taste, so maybe that's the one.
You should try the Hefeweizen.
Maybe I should.
Yeah, you should.
I like a nice pint, a nice dark pint, but I'm not going to be pigeonholed into just drinking Guinness like our good friend the Butcher was when he was all offered a beer from our good friend, Starlight. In a scene from The Boys, Starlight took one look at the Butcher up and down and said, I bet you're a Guinness guy. A little stereotypical, but that's okay. And that's what we're talking about tonight, The Boys. We all have seen it. Has anyone not seen every episode? Seth, how about you, buddy?
Yeah, I've seen them all.
You've seen them all. Did you binge it? Who binged it the fastest? I just finished today. Who thinks they have the record for getting through that the fastest?
The second day it was out, I think I was done.
Oof, that's a good one. Can anyone beat 2 days?
No.
I mean, I was 2 days. I was 4-4.
Four and four?
Yeah.
It was just that good, right, guys? I mean, it was really good.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
Spoilers, by the way.
Spoilers. Oh, yeah. Everything from here on in, spoilers. So you haven't watched The Boys, get your ass off this podcast. Rock it in there and watch the goddamn Boys. Also, just in case any of our listeners are not used to us extra swearing, extra gore, and talking about some very uncomfortable subjects. If you are not down with that, this is not the podcast for you tonight, because The Boys is not family fucking friendly.
It is not. We see a very coerced sex. I'll actually call it rape in the very first episode. It's very graphic, and it's not for the faint of heart, and a lot of gore.
Now, Alan Moore, you love through this.
Seth, you love gore. You're a gore guy.
That's right. Wish I saw more of it.
Yeah, and there were some good gore scenes that mixed sex in. Notably, a young lady having an orgasm and crushing the paramour who is eating her ass with her thighs.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
To her landlord.
What was that?
Couldn't pay the rent. Pop Rock did that to her landlord because she couldn't pay the rent.
That's right. Analingus to pay the rent. I've seen that movie, and it doesn't end well for anybody.
Right.
Volume 1 through 17.
Fantasy and nightmare. Yeah. Same scene.
Same scene. Awful. Same so what, let's talk quickly about the fact that it's not very much like the comic book. Mike, you want to draw a couple of comparisons between the comic book and the TV show for us just to keep us straight?
Well, if you haven't listened to our episode on The Boys, that's probably the best way to find out more about the comic book itself. So go back and listen to that episode. I'll find the episode and give you the episode number so you don't have to look it up. It's number 143.
Okay.
So go ahead and listen to that. The main difference, they had a lot more time in the comic book. They really condensed the story in this, and they made a few little changes that, I mean, I like the addition of Translucent as one of the members of the Seven. He wasn't originally in the Seven in the comic book, but I thought he made a good addition.
He replaced Jupiter Man, right?
I think he replaced Game Cop because he's the one they...
No,
Jupiter.
I mean, as a character, because they killed him.
Well, yes, they did kill him. They killed Gamecock in the comic book. That was Huey's first kill.
Yeah, but Gamecock was in a different group entirely. He's with Teenage Kicks. He wasn't actually with the Seven.
Yeah, but he took the place of Huey's first kill.
I see what you're saying.
But in the Seven, he was taken, what was his name? Something Jupiter, right?
Yeah, Jupiter something like that. And you know, it didn't make a difference in that, too, because in the comic, it's a complete accident. He was defending himself, but in this show, he purposely hits that switch and kills him because he could have let him walk out the door. So it is a little different in the way that they did that.
I think they gave him just a little wiggle room because as soon as Translucent went translucent, he could have turned around and killed Huey or slapped that trigger out of his hand. So there was some self-defense in there, too. Yeah, I think you could argue that, but I think he pushed it because that was it. Fuck it. I'm done.
Yeah. I felt like that was more of the reasoning, too. I don't think it was really that much self-defense, but you could argue that. I agree.
But you can also see a big difference. The position of Huey from being that very timid human being in the very beginning of the show to being this person who is willing to go a little bit further a lot further all at once and flip the switch and blow somebody up, but to start to be a lot more assertive as a character in that show. And it kind of starts there.
Absolutely. But I think we got ahead of ourselves just a little bit. Let's just, Tommy, why don't you just give us a little bit of what the story arc is? Just who the boys are in their world. Just a little bit.
So the boys in the TV show, I think, are very different from in the comic book. In the comic book, they're almost like a state-sanctioned group because they are actually CIA operatives. Whereas in the TV show, they are acting out on their own. They're not CIA operatives. They become CIA operatives later on, whereas they're just kind of people that have been done wrong by Supes that are going after revenge initially. And then later on, they get sanctioning from CIA and get backing from the CIA. So I think that's kind of a huge distinction, which, you know, you guys are saying there's slight differences. I think that's a huge difference. Yeah. Also, in the comic, a lot of the boys have some powers because they've been exposed or have been taking Compound V, whereas in the TV show, none of the boys have any powers.
Well, the female does.
Except for the female, which they pick up along the way. And
that's another,
like, really big difference in my book because it puts them way out at risk, whereas in the boys' comic book, they can go almost toe-to-toe with some of the superheroes because they've got, you know, beefed-up strength. They've got some of the same powers as the people they're fighting against. So I think there's some pretty major differences in plot and in some of the structure.
You said that the boys, they in the comics, they weren't with the CIA at first, and then they got into it.
Well, in the comics, they are, right from the start, they're CIA operatives.
Yeah, from the start. Okay.
Right from the start. Whereas that's in the TV show, they're not.
But they never do become. They almost.
At some point, Butcher does broker a deal with the CIA.
But they
take their families under protection. They get some funding.
Well, not really. They get washed.
Then they get screwed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But the whole story of the boys is a deconstruction of the superhero genre, and which this TV show still is, and it's a story about revenge. And that's the basic theme of the comic book and the TV show are still the same. It's just the details are different, but it's still the same. It's all the story arc. We get drawn into the world by Huey, and we see his arc as it goes along. And like you were saying earlier, Huey's arc is non-assertive. Like, he's even afraid to talk to his boss and get asked for a raise at the beginning. And by the end, he's telling Butcher to go fuck off. And the arc continues because he goes back to being a decent person and not driven by revenge. When he finally has the chance to get revenge for his girlfriend, he chooses not to take it, and he chooses to save A-Train's life. So he's almost got a circular story arc where he finds redemption.
Yeah. Sorry. So one of the things that I didn't like so much about the show is the heroes, the seven, except for Homelander, are too redeemable for me compared to the comic. I actually dislike them being so humanized that we don't consider them the evil that we really, really wanted to fight against in the comics. I think that, I just thought one of the things was the facade of being the hero backed by the ultra depravity is really what I think launches the boys in a way that makes it very different from other stories. And here, I think they tempered that so much that it becomes too normal of a story for me. Even though they try to crack out into some of the stuff, but honestly, I think they softened the message a little too much for me.
I'd have to disagree with you on that one. I do agree that it's softer than the book. That I do agree with you on. But I don't think I'd have to say it's not too much. I think all those heroes are pretty irredeemable. They're all murderers. Like, especially like the plane scene that in the show, like that. I can't see Homelander.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. I said except Homelander. So Maeve is way more redeemable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Maeve is feeling a lot of guilt and remorse.
Maeve doesn't really do. Now, I've only got to issue 40 on the books, so maybe I don't know more of Maeve's, but even in the book, she doesn't really do so much like the other guys do, other than she just drinks all day. And then she
Maeve also kills her toys.
Okay, see, I haven't gotten that far into it in the books, so. But I would say, though, Maeve is still – she was still on that plane and left. She's still pretty responsible. I don't think nearly as redeemable, but I can see where you're making that with how she is with Starlight. But, I mean, A-Train, he murdered that. He murdered his girlfriend, and he ran through Huey's girl, and we see him just talking shit, laughing about the shit.
Yeah,
like,
but they basically blame that on drugs, right? They basically make A-Train the addict, right? Where he's not in control of his own actions. They take away his agency by making him an addict rather than being an irredeemable asshole. Which in the comic is solidly an irredeemable asshole.
At the end of that show, the last episode, he clearly says, he tries to blame it on other things, but he says, no, I killed Popclaw. Like, he comes to the realization that he's responsible for his actions.
Yeah, no, sir. He says, I killed Popclaw, but you made me do it. He took no responsibility.
True. Yeah, that is true. He did try to throw it back at Huey on that. But still in all, I still say that he's still responsible for that. But you're right. They did give him the drug thing. I mean, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it makes sense.
But they gave him an out.
They gave him an out, which is a problem for me.
But I think it's better in the TV show because you're now looking at these superheroes who some of them, when they started off, really wanted to be good. Right? And so they've just been drawn into this corporate world, and now they have a decision. Do I continue to make money and be famous, or do I stand up for the corporation and do what I think is right? That's the whole point of Starlight's addition into the Seven for us as the viewer. We get to see that journey, whereas all the other heroes have decided to go in a different way and accept what their corporate overlords are saying. She's the one who's like, no, I'm drawing the line. I'm doing this to do what's right. All the other ones, Maeve got into this to help people, right? She really did want to help people, but she has just become jaded by her environment that she doesn't feel like she's a hero anymore. She's just walking through the paces. And then when we do see that terrible airplane fiasco, it's even more jarring for Maeve because now she realizes that she's part of the problem by enabling Homelander.
Yeah, but also, that's exactly comics, what I don't like about it.
But also,
sorry,
in
go
the
ahead.
Comics, the villains are very similar in that, like the Seven is, excuse me, not necessarily villains, the Seven are very similar in that they're just all assholes, where now the Seven are all a little more interesting characters in their inhumanity, in their faults and flaws, where you can, like, connect with these Seven in ways. And I don't think they're still sympathetic, but I do agree. Like, your point you made, yeah, I think you're right. They do have a little more of an out on some of that stuff than what the books allow them to have. However, they're still responsible for their actions and also, like, it's interesting to see Queen Maeve, like, I recognize that, you know, hey, guess what? I'm too far gone. Like, that scene where she tells Starlight, like, look, we don't need two of me. You know, I've got it here. Like, you go. Because she feels like she can't be redeemed because she sat there and let that plane go down. She's done some of the worst shit she's probably ever done. And, like, we see just her dealing with her actions and stuff. And we see A-Train dealing with some of those things too. And then we see Homelander just completely, and they really take it to a different place with Butcher and his wife, which I assume we'll get into later. But I do agree with you, Mike. Like, I kind of do like some of the differences here with the villains because it is a different story. The spirit of the book is there, but it is a different story that they're telling. And I think the Seven are more interesting to follow in the show than what they would be if they just made them their counterparts in the comics, where they're just ultra evil villain. Like, basically all the Seven are rapists, you know, like they're just all rapists. Where in this one, well, only the Deepest are really a rapist in here from what it seems. I mean, there's a claim that Homelander raped, but I kind of think he didn't. I think that was consensual. Yeah. So, and that's very interesting now. Because how that ended, if that's consensual, which, yeah, I guess we'll get into when you're ready.
Yeah, let's do it now.
Yeah. Get in there.
Who here thinks that Homelander raped Butcher's wife?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Tom?
3 hours is a mighty long rape.
Yeah.
She was in there for 3 full hours. Now, and we also know that Homelander has a premature ejaculation problem, which we saw, you know, happening when he made love to Elizabeth Shue's
character. I really wanted her head to explode in that. Like, it'd just be like, to have his ejaculate just literally rip her apart. I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would have been something they did in the comic.
Yeah.
They did.
Here's the thing. I mean, if you're having a superpowered baby, you need a superpowered – you need backup. You can't do that on your own. You can't discipline or handle a superpowered baby without a team. It takes a village like New York to raise a superpowered baby. So she probably got scared when she found out she was pregnant, and she, you know, had to do something. That's what I'm thinking.
And
the baby was going to kill her. because the baby was developing very, very, very quickly and was literally clawing its way out of her. But all that part is still true. Well, so she still needed Vogelbaum and the entire team to even have that child.
Actually, we have no idea how much of that is true.
Right. Yeah. We know that Vogel was lying when he was talking about that, and we know Stitwell might have actually believed that she died during the miscarriage. She might not have known because she's handling the Homelander, not the science part of it. And who knows what the actual truth is. And the only reason Butcher believes that his wife was raped is because Mallory told him she was raped. It's not like his wife came over and told him that she had been raped. Mallory's the one who puts that idea into Butcher's head to get him on the road to vengeance.
The other thing, too, is Homelander is actually the one that pulls his dick out in front of Starlight in the books. And in the show, it was just the Deep. So, and they even make a statement in there that the Homelander actually is kind of about the superhero stuff to some degree. He's definitely twisted, but there's a line, I think, in the first episode where they say that he's kind of about it. Like, even in one of the meetings, he's like, who saved somebody today? Tell me a report. You know, like, he actually kind of digs the concept of it, at least. He's definitely not a hero. So I don't think that he would have raped her. And, and that really breaks Butcher's motive in this whole show. So the second season is going to be very interesting on what drives Butcher with what's been revealed.
I'm sorry, Baron Von Raske with the Iron Claw up. Go ahead.
So the question now is if you're Billy Butcher, do you still want to kill Homelander? I mean, that's his only reason for existence is killing Homelander because he raped his wife and he hasn't seen her in 8 years. Is he so far gone now in his character development? Is he so far gone that he still wants to kill Homelander? He still wants to kill all the Supes and kill the Seven off?
Oh, no, he absolutely does. And this is just extra motivation. This is the Homelander not only raping his wife, he's stolen her, given her something he never could, a child, and has now in one fell swoop come back into their lives and taken that all back and shown him that his kid is immediately has a connection with Homelander that he's never going to have with Butcher. And that's going to be Butcher's motivation to start taking Compound V.
Butcher's going to become the main bad guy, I think. Yeah.
Doesn't that happen in the comics that he becomes kind of the villain at the end or something?
For Huey? Yes, he does.
I heard about it, but again, I haven't read that far into it.
Oh, you have to read the rest of those comics.
Yeah, I'm only on issue 40, I think, right now. I got through, the Hero. I heard, actually, too, the Herogasm is supposed to be in season 2. Did y'all hear that?
Holy crap. No. They're going to do Herogasm?
I don't know. That's going to be. They really avoided a lot of the sexual content in this first season that the comics have.
They did.
So I was kind of surprised to hear that they're going to try and do that for season 2.
So Herogasm, for those not in the know, is a once-a-year crossover event that happens in the comic book. They call it like this big multiverse kind of there's a planned vacation where all the Supes go to this island and they do a ton of drugs and they fuck. And the corporation kind of makes up an alien invasion or something, or interdimensional being attacking the planet. So all the Supes have to go away and do something.
They all go to space.
Yeah, they go to space or another dimension or something. But they just go to this island somewhere, someplace, and just fuck and do drugs and
Does anybody remember if the comic, if that bar exists, TV show, where that they were all fucking and doing drugs?
Yeah, I remember I do remember a scene where a little tiny guy is actually diving off of something into a girl's vagina, just like in the bar scene. That was in one of the comic books for certain. Because I thought that was awesome. Little tiny guy jumping into a vagina.
Cyan Man does it.
Damn right. Shrink, grow. Mm-hmm. We are wasting a lot of pin particles. Shrink, shut up. Shrink, grow. Now grow.
Dear Dr. Pym, I never thought it would happen to me.
Count if Ant-Man.
He can go back in time now and do it again.
Does it count if Ant-Man jumps up your butt as being double fisted?
Oh, no. No.
It happened.
And can he do the clap?
That's the dime bag, Tom, and you get the power penguin.
So if Ant-Man jumps in your butt and does the dime bag and then the power penguin, that counts?
Yeah, I'm going to need more. Right.
Hey, wasn't that how the internet was trying to say Thanos was going to be defeated?
Yes. Right?
Yeah, it was. That's all.
No, right. It doesn't count if you think size does and doesn't matter. Your call.
Yeah, I guess so.
Seen you naked.
Have we seen Seth naked? I can't remember. That was a wild night. That was a good crossover event.
Crossover event indeed.
Podcast.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
All right, so for you guys who've read the comic, what do you think about the female's character development in the TV show? Because that is wildly different.
And I think
it's one of the more interesting plot lines that I've been seeing in that show, and that she is in some ways more tragic and more human, but still a superhero and still working with him. Well, a soup in the sense that she has taken the Compound V and has those types of powers. Whereas in the comic, she was just a little mean thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's necessary for the medium to make her a real character. It's pretty hard just to have like a voiceless, violent machine fit anywhere into this without, and especially without the other boys already having been on Compound V. Her presence really would make no sense. So I think that's actually kind of one of the welcome changes for me. I know you guys are dead set on the heroes being a little more sympathetic, but I do think that her character development is necessary and entertaining.
Well,
is she like Wolverine now? It's like she's got a healing factor, and then she rages out like him. Like it almost feels like she's very much like Wolverine in this, and she wasn't like that in the comics, right? She didn't have a healing factor in the comics, huh?
I don't think she needed to be healed in the comic because she just got to everybody first and ripped off their fucking heads.
Yeah.
So I think they had to give her. They had to reclaim some of her humanity.
She got fucked up by that Nazi superhero.
She does, yeah. They don't want to put those gaps of time in, right? They don't want to say, like, 6 months pass while you in the hospital.
Nor do you want to have a Nazi superhero, because that just doesn't make sense.
Oh, no. But he's coming.
Well, they've introduced the captain.
Look, there are very fine people on both sides of this argument, guys.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Well, lately, I just want to say, Tom, you've been erratic, LT, you've been unreliable, and Josh, you've been downright sloppy. But Seth, you're being great.
Seth, you're killing it, buddy. You're right. Everybody else, we suck.
I'll make this podcast great again.
So I think in the comic, they all had a little bit of a healing factor. In that everybody that had the Compound V healed a little bit faster than a normal person anyway. But I don't think it was to the extreme as in the TV show.
Yeah.
Well, in the TV show, they're actually trying to turn her into one of the supervillains.
Yeah.
That Homelander's trying to create on the sly that very few people even know about, so they would actually have a reason to go be superheroes and do their superhero thing.
Well, a reason to be superheroes beyond the borders of the United States. They wanted to get in on the military so they can start having military contracts, which is a brilliant plot device. Not only is it timely and something that we easily fits into our political narrative, but also something as a little warning, something that we should think about.
I do like that, actually. I was really entertained by that. The other thing it reminds me of is when in the Watchmen movie compared to the comic, where they go with the threat of nuclear war rather than the giant blue alien, right? They went with a very timely, politically direct and apt comparison rather than sticking straight to the comic book, and I can appreciate that. That's good. That's good writing.
Yeah. It was good writing. And remember, we're talking about a medium that's way more finite than a 40-issue comic book run, where you can take 2 pages to explain, you know, a backstory or a narrative or something, whereas you just don't have that kind of time and money to spend doing those kind of backstories on in a TV show.
What did you guys think about the fact that Butcher blew up Sitwell's kid?
Yeah, I was, you know, I always made that more of an assumption that Homelander did that because he brought that kid down there knowing good and well what's to be made of that. But you're right, Butcher pulled the trigger. I guess he just felt like, fuck it, we'll all die. So I think he was expecting to die as well.
Yeah.
And to be honest, maybe Homelander saved that baby.
There's no way Homelander saved that baby.
Homelander hated that baby.
I was going to say, Homelander really did not like that baby. Homelander was jealous of that baby.
Well, wait, what if that baby has compound V, though? I mean, for a while, that's a superpower. What if that baby's still alive?
Would make sense to have given that baby compound V.
No, because they're not always sure what's going to happen with the babies if they're going to live. It's worse in adults, but it's still not guaranteed in babies.
Yeah, but remember, she had her baby very late in life. With just a donor, and it was under kind of mysterious circumstances and all that kind of stuff. It's only treaded upon very lightly, but I think they were going for that next generation.
Maybe.
I think seeing the degradation of Billy Butcher's character the same way you saw in the comic book, at least at one point, maybe sped up a little bit, where he just doesn't care and he just wants to kill all the superheroes and anybody related to them.
Yes.
I think that's where that's kind of going.
He believes there's a black and white line and that the superheroes are not worthy of redemption.
Which is what he's been trying to bang into Huey's head for pretty much all of season one and most of the comics.
Yeah.
Now, the comic book really explored the fact that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And this TV show still leaves them with some sort of redemption. So are we thinking that they're doing that just to make all the characters a little more relatable, or is it just because of the timeline?
Well, I don't necessarily know if that's true. I think Homelander is becoming more and more and more – he can do what he wants to say it the way he said it.
Did you hear
– show. And he doesn't –
did you hear about the scene – I'm sorry. Please.
Good, Zeth. What do you got?
No, I was going to ask, did you hear about the deleted scene? Apparently, there was one scene that Amazon told them you cannot film or you cannot put in the show. Did you hear about that one?
Yeah, what was it?
At the end of season two, where Homelander was going to be on top of some Chrysler building in New York or something like that, and he was going to be jerking off on top of the building and saying, I could do whatever I want. I could do whatever I want. And then he was going to come all over New York, basically.
It's my 60-body. I can do what I want. I can do what I want.
Yeah. That was a character development. It was supposed to be, I think, at the end of episode 2, after he got kind of dressed down by Stillwell.
Yeah.
He was going to do that in, like, kind of this kind of defiant thing, kind of what you're saying about how he is. Like, yeah. I do whatever I want.
And that's kind of relates to what he did in the comic book, where the people won the prize to get flown around by Homelander, and he just drops them to their death.
Yeah.
That's where he kind of figures out, nobody could do shit to me anyway, so fuck it. I'm just going to do whatever I want from this point on.
Mm.
What about we've talked about Huey, we've talked about Butcher, and we've talked about the female of the species, but we haven't talked about Mother's Milk or Frenchie. What did you guys think of them?
He was actually one of the better characters, but also it didn't make sense. It is a problem I had with the show.
Which one are you talking about? We were talking about 2 characters. Which one?
Oh, Mother's Milk. I'm sorry. Yeah. I think I might have glitched a little bit. Mother's Milk is the one I felt like didn't fit in the show too well. It didn't make sense. So then he didn't fit. He didn't make sense because he seemed too well put together. He had a wife. He had a daughter. Like, why would you throw this all away? And, like, there was no money. Like, there was no CIA budget or anything like that going on, and he knew that from the jump. The books give him a lot of justification why he rides with Butcher.
Yeah.
Now, the show hasn't shown us any reason. Now, if we see something in season two, and it'll be like, oh, okay, I get it. But, like, he was the most well-put-together character out of everybody. He seemed like he had a good grip just on his life, in a sense. Like, his wife wasn't a drug head like she is in the books. She was, you know, he had a good relationship with her.
Yeah, he had a job.
Yeah,
he had a good life.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think the addition. I think seeing Mallory's children tortured by the lamplighter is what they're using as his motivation there, because he talks about that more than once.
No, I don't think that's his motivation. I think we haven't seen him or Frenchie's motivation yet, because Mallory recruited all of them to do her bidding on the capes. They all have a reason for hating the capes. We just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's going to go something to, it's going to be something related to either his mom or his brother, like they did in the comics.
I think it's got to be his mom with his nickname of Mother's Milk. Because, I mean, they've got to explain better what his name is for.
Yeah.
But he don't have the superpower. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird one.
I mean, in the book, it was clear why he was Mother's Milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cart before the horse here.
But they never called him Mother's Milk. They called him M.M.
They called him Mother's Milk. Absolutely. 100%.
Are you sure? Yeah. I thought they just called him M.M. and Milk.
No, I've heard of Mother's Milk a couple of times, and even Huey going, Mother's Milk? Really? So, yeah.
And Frenchie. You in the comic books, you never know what his exact motivation is because he's so crazy. I think I like the fact that we don't know what Frenchie's. I know Frenchie's got a fucked up background. You can tell that because his father tried to kill him and used him as a slave. Right? He goes into that, but it hasn't gone into why he hates the Supes. So I can only imagine what the Supes have done to him at some point. I think both those characters are going to have a lot more development in season two.
Yeah, he's definitely Frenchie, a little less psychotic. Yeah. Go ahead, Ty.
I like the fact that Frenchie seems a bit more developed in the TV show. He's much more creative. He seems like much more, intellectual. Whereas in the comic book, he's definitely much more of a just, taking down the other guy.
Well, he knows how to make a good Madeline, which is not an easy cookie to make.
I was going to say, whereas in the TV show, he comes up with trying to create a coating for the bullet to take out Translucent. And when that doesn't work, he comes up with the idea of putting the bomb up his ass. He is using all of his intelligence, whereas in the comic book, he's just raw violence.
He's the female, basically. He's just another.
Even the female clicks so well because they are just the two people you want to take somebody out.
See, Frenchie made sense to me why he was with Butcher, though, because like he was just this kind of guy that floats about, like whatever. Like he's always kind of on the Like honestly, Mother's Milk was the only one that was like, you have a lot to lose. To be running around with Butcher, and Butcher seemed more like a crazy person on the edge in this show than he does in the books. Like he is off in the books, but like he's more justified because he has the CIA backing. The fact that he's just some guy with a vendetta, he's a vigilante. Where in the books they come off more like government officials.
One of the things I think that we see in the TV series that really changes from the comics, in my opinion, is the comics are a story about Butcher and Huey, and everything around them are not so much characters as concepts, powers, and flaws. Like everything the story is very differential to those two characters, and everything they're just like conflicts that they have to solve. Where Mother's Milk is sort of the conscience of the group. Everyone else is sort of this violence. There's this ultra negativity about the heroes. And what they try to do is sort of take those things that really come across just as emotionals in the comic and turn them into an ensemble cast in a TV show. I think they've done a great job of it, even though I think they've turning thoughts and theories into characters isn't easy, and I think they have done that. Like you said, they've really turned those into things where you have to think about. They have their own personalities now, where before I think they were just conceptual obstacles and just the means and media for violence and graphics of the things that Butcher and Huey have to deal with in their lives. So I really think they're doing a fantastic job here. It's not the same as a comic book, but as far as just turning it into something that's consumable by the masses, as well as turning sort of thoughts, dreams, and nightmares into actual characters, they're really doing a good job.
All right, let's talk about some things we wish were in there. Everybody gets one, all right? I want the Terror. Where's the dog? I love the dog.
He's coming, Tom. I'm telling you.
I'm hoping so.
He's in the house. He's on the other side of that door. That bitch stole his heart and stole his goddamn dog.
Who else has got something they want in there?
A hamster.
When it's season one or season two or just coming up later or...
Just something from the comic book that you want to see in there.
Hamster. So later in the comic, Huey makes friends with this Russian guy as they're going off and fighting all these terrorists. I want to see
that. Are you talking about the love sausage?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted someone else to say love sausage. Yeah, we want to see him. That's the Russian ex-superhero who now kind of works with the boys, who's called the love sausage. I want to see him too. Anybody else get something they want to see?
I want to see Mother's Milk's mother.
Okay.
That's fair. Yeah.
I would like to see Tech Knight.
Ooh, okay. And Tech Knight is mentioned.
He is mentioned. He did accidentally cripple a woman, but she should be thankful.
I mean, she was saved.
Saved.
Yes. So for those not in the know, Tech Knight is one of the few superheroes who wasn't on Compound V in the comic book. He is a tech...
He's an Iron Man meets
Batman. He's like an Iron Man.
Yeah, he's an Iron Man.
He's a rich guy who invents armor.
Which I kind of want to see, too. I mean, in a world full of superheroes, there has to be a wannabe with money who never got Compound B but, you know, tries to make it. Josh, anything you want to see?
I mean, there's plenty I want to see. Honestly.
You just... know one thing, you greedy bastard?
The hamster. I need my hamster.
You want your hamster?
If you don't put the hamster in there, you have just chickened out. You have found a way to avoid the crux of every stitch of violence in this comic book. I don't appreciate
that. Whose hamster that was, though? Whose hamster was that?
Blarney Cox.
Blarney Cox. If Blarney Cox was replaced by Translucent, and Translucent didn't have a hamster up his ass... That because he had dynamite up his ass. Do you think they just replaced the dynamite with the hamster?
Well, that dynamite needed a fucking name then, and it should have had a fuzzy face. Put the goddamn hamster in the show, Tom.
It's not my call, but I'll see what I can do. Seth, is there anything from the comic book you'd like to see brought over?
Yeah, I'd like to see more of the other groups. Like the G-Men, the Teenage Kicks. You know, like they've mentioned the Kicks, but yeah.
So you want to see the special heroes?
Yeah.
That's right. Like special heroes.
That's right.
The special heroes are huge superheroes who have challenges in their lives that they have to overcome, like cerebral palsy or different mental facilities. But by God, they're trying. Teenage Kicks was kind of their edgier teenage superheroes. What was the other one? The ones that was a little more religious-y with Drummer Boy?
American something.
Young Americans.
Young Americans, that's right. Yeah. So Young Americans is kind of the goody two-shoes part of it, which Starlight was in with Drummer Boy, who was a boyfriend, and she mentions him in the episode where they're talking to Gideon, and the Young Kicks is kind of the edgy hardcore. So you can see how boy bandish they actually make this, which is exactly what a corporation would do with superheroes. They would They would try to cover all their bases. They want a goth superhero. They want an environmental superhero. They want a gay superhero.
So if you haven't read them in a novelization of this sort of same vein, the very, very later years, I think it's books like 12, 13, 14 in the Wildcard series, basically takes this theme in a very corporate and similar way without being quite as edgy as the boys in novelization form. And honestly, they're okay. It's definitely not the best of the Wildcard series, but it's totally worth the read.
And who wrote those?
They're anthologized, so it's short stories from a bunch of different authors.
That's right. I just wanted you to bring up the guy's name who should get back to work making sure that these things get pumped out.
I think he just got to stamp his name on that shit, and he didn't really actually write anything for it, so I'm not too worried about it.
I thought he was the motivator for that, though. I thought
no, he's considered the lead editor for the series, one of the lead editors for the series. And he does write some of the earlier stories. We're talking about
George R. R. Martin. Stop with the Game of Thrones bullshit and get back to being lead editor to Wild Cards. That was your fucking most brilliant work.
Shut the fuck up, Tom. Wild
Cards has already been sold to HBO, by the way.
All right, that's great. What was that, Mikey?
I said, shut the fuck up. He needs to finish the goddamn books.
Here comes Fortunato.
Here comes Fortunato. Oh, goddamn, I love Fortunato. All right, so that was one thing you would add. Is there one thing you would take out of the series? I've been hearing a lot of from Seth. You voiced that you'd rather these guys be a little more black and white. Is that what you'd like to have taken out? Or something else?
No, that's not what I said.
No,
I'm sorry, that was Josh. I'm sorry, that was Josh. Josh, you would like these guys to be a little more black and white. You'd like some of the humanization of the superheroes taken out.
Yeah, I think they made some of the characters a little too sympathetic for me. I'd rather see them be absolutely and fucking totally irredeemable. I want to shoot when they fucking die. I don't want to think about it.
Good point. Excellent point. Donnie, is there anything you'd like seeing taken out?
Not that I can think of, no.
All right. How about you, Tommy?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm just being a dick. That's my dick move.
I don't know.
Maybe the dog toy.
Because that's just a tease, man. That's just a fucking tease.
I think I would like to see taken out is the fact that they don't have any support. I would like to see the support thing put back in. They took away all of the boys' support from the government, and I like that. I like that the government was smart enough to know that Voight was up to some serious bad shit. And that to keep them from entering the military in the first place, or to keep them from world domination, a team like the boys was necessary. How about you, Mike? Anything you'd like to see taken out?
Yeah, I would have appreciated if they didn't have the fact that Starlight's mom knew that she was given Compound V. Because the problem with taking a secret and then letting every fucking parent know that you're injecting their kid with Compound V, there's no way that remains a secret, no matter what kind of non-disclosure agreement.
You mean like the lunar landing, Mike? Is that what you're talking about?
There's only one way two people can keep a secret, and that's to kill one of them.
Damn right. Now, Mike, you and I have in the past both worked for the government. We were both in the military. Big conspiracies are almost impossible, just impossible to handle. Because similarly,
the Manhattan Project's impossible?
Yeah. How long did the Manhattan Project remain a secret?
20 years?
Yeah, that's a good long time for a secret like that to remain a secret. I mean, an incredible...
Thousands.
That is one of the outliers. That is an incredible feat, 20 years. 20 years was an incredible feat. And still there are rumors of it. Good.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. What about Operation Paperclip? Wasn't that
Operation Paperclip was the most well-known stupid secret. Operation Paperclip.
I didn't know.
Used the fact that it was out there to remain more obscure. Like, sure, there is an Operation Paperclip, but we're not taking it all that seriously. Here's everything we know. And all the stuff they didn't want us to know, they kept to themselves. Operation Paperclip was a better example of obscuring the truth with known facts than anything else.
Okay.
And it taught me how to put you know, like quick stuff into Microsoft. I mean, Clippy.
Yeah. Hey, what are you doing there? Covering up a government conspiracy? Can I help?
Clippy. No, Clippy. We all know Clippy's a Russian bot, so don't defend him, you fucking comrade.
Don't defend Clippy. All right, let's go with two things left. Let's go.
I still didn't do my thing I like to take out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. What was
it? You forgot me, good sir. Yeah. It's really just an it's a small nitpick. I really didn't have that much of a problem with it, but I guess the Aquaman jokes were good, but I felt like they were kind of beat over the head to a point, especially when they kind of kicked him out of the seven. And they were still almost doing the same joke. Like, the lobster joke was the same joke as the dolphin joke. And so, like, I think we kind of get it. I wouldn't mind them still coming back, but, like, I guess that's just a small thing to kind of take out. Like, that. Yeah, just smaller amount.
The whole Sandusky, Ohio thing.
The Deep was worthless to begin with, and so he should be mocked.
Are you kidding? That was such a sweet dive. Did you see that fucking sweet ass dive in episode 2?
Yeah, did you catch that?
That was awesome.
Yeah, did you catch that? It was awesome.
Yeah.
No.
I think they kept beating that dead fish with a hammer because they wanted to show how pathetic he was. Did they overkill? They might have overkilled, but I think they made their point.
Yeah, you had to keep him along for the gill raping.
Yeah. So. I'm splitting
hairs. He's going to have a redemption in season 2.
He's cooking something up. All right, on a scale of 3 to 18, which is the obvious scale to rate any fucking thing on the planet, Mikey, 3 to 18, what do you give the boys TV show? Not the comic book, just the TV show.
I'm going to give it a 16. I think it is the best comic book adaptation besides The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, that's a strong number, 16, baby. Tommy, you look incredulous. Or that just might be your puss. I can't tell. What do you got?
I'm going to give it a 13 and a half.
It's a low number, my thought process, but okay.
Well, that's a plus one.
It is a plus one.
Plus one.
But I think it deserves more. Josh, what do you got, buddy?
I'm going to creep it up to a 14 for the plus two, and I'm going to disagree with Mike and say when Mike sees season 2 of the Titans, he's going to kick that fucking Umbrella Academy to the goddamn curb.
Is season 2 that good? We got to do season 2 at some point.
It's coming out.
Because season 1 was okay.
I'm predicting it before it comes out, Tom, because that is what I am fucking known for.
You've not gotten this wrong yet, you sucker. And I mean that in a good way.
Titans,
superpower.
Mike. Titans.
Donnie, my brother. Scale of 3 to 18.
16 and a half.
Woo! Strong number. Strong. Almost a 17.
Loving it. Well, what? Jesus Christ.
I really like our fence.
Wow.
I can tell you, I really like Garth
Ennis. Well, the 7 is giving you a reach around for the 16 and a half.
Yeah. American Gods, I still think is the best thing being shown on TV right now.
You're a monster.
Donnie just wants to see a herogasm. That's why he's giving it such a high rating.
He doesn't. He's just going to keep it going.
He's like, I got to see herogasm. It's coming in season 2. I got to do what I got to do to see this.
Donnie, just go to my Pornhub account and watch all of my superhero channel porns, one right after another. It's the same exact thing as Herogasm. Seth, my brother from another mother, what do you give it? Scale of 3 to 18.
17.
Woo!
Oh, 17.
Oh, my God.
That's right. That's right. Wow.
Holy shit. Seth is almost all in.
He is almost all in. What are you talking about? He's got one ball inside. He's at 17.
That means you like it to the point where you can't look away.
Yeah, if we're talking about charisma. I crushed it in 2 days. I mean, I was really hooked with it. That ending was pretty dope. Like it, that's a didn't see. His wife walked out. Like, I thought that was great. That pain scene was very dramatic. It was very powerful, I thought. Like, a lot of the stuff really worked. I liked the differences as well as the spirit of the book still there. So, yeah, I think they did good. There's a couple nitpicks I have, like the mother's milk thing that we discussed and a few others. But, you know, overall, yeah, I think it's pretty solid.
So, you know what? I respect your score. If you watched it in 2 days, You kind of have to give it a 17. I've only watched one thing in one sitting. That was with my good friend Josh. We watched Glow in one sitting. It was that good. So I can't quite grow 17 or even 16 on this one. I'm going to give it a 15. 15 still gives it that plus one, but doesn't quite give it that plus two yet. And I thought it was really good. I mean, I really did binge it really easily and well. I love Keith Urban. What's
Carl
his name?
Urban.
Carl Urban.
Keith
sorry.
Urban is a singer.
Keith Urban's a country western singer. Very
but close. I do love Keith Urban.
So close.
Let's not nitpick here.
Dwell on
and I think this is one of the better comic book adaptions out there. Not quite as good as Middleman, which is I think one of my favorite. Hey, Middleman is a fucking awesome comic book adaptation. I'm sorry. And there are a couple others out there that are as good, but yeah, I'm going to give it a nice solid 15.
So we're all in the 13 to 17. Wait, Mike, did you give your score?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're all solidly in 13 to 17, right?
Yeah. I mean,
everyone's
so
in the bonus.
Than average.
Here.
Nine would be average.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all on the bonus. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
I can't think of like Titans, I would give a nice solid 15 too. So, I mean, there are a couple other out there that probably hit this range for all of us, but this one's pretty solid.
Definitely solid.
All right. This is going insanely long, so we're not going to do some of our friend long box back long box social issues. So let's go on over to plugs. I want to plug. You know I like to plug you, buddy. I'm going to plug my good friend Seth. Seth, tell me about all the podcasts you guys do over there because they're all terrific.
Thanks. Yeah, we're actually doing a few changes. So right now, typically, Who's Next podcast, that's where you want to go. I'm basically doing Losing Lives and everything all in that channel, and we've opened up to cover movies, comics, and video games. So I've been doing 1 week movies and comics and another week games. I've been trying to do it that way. So, yeah, you can check us out there. Who'snextgaming.com is still the website. And then we also started, buddy, you know Ryan. Yeah, y'all remember
sure,
Ryan. He was, so he's out in Texas, and he hooked up with a friend of his, and they really like shitty movies. And they started a Facebook group, and Facebook group has like 3,000-some-odd followers on it. So we decided, hey, why don't we just do a podcast? Because me and him have been talking about doing a podcast that was just more like movies, bad movies overall, not just the video game ones. So we said, hey, why don't we just do it with that in theme? So it's movies so bad they're good. We've covered Samurai Cop, Miami Connection, and Dolomite so far. And I also got the privilege of finding out who Neil Breen is in Fateful Findings, which is the worst movie I've ever seen. It is by far the worst movie I've ever seen. It's the worst editing job I've ever seen. It's the worst plot I've ever seen. It's doesn't make any sense, but it is hilarious.
Well, you did see Max Payne, right?
Max Payne is the Matrix compared to that movie, Fateful Findings.
Yes. Wow.
Like, Max Payne is a masterpiece to Fateful Findings. I will send you a clip. There's a YouTube clip of the ending of Fateful Findings. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen, and you'll understand why I say that. Like,
how about Hard Ticket to Hawaii? That's got to be worse.
That's coming up on the list. I don't think I've ever watched that. Ryan talks about it a bit, so that'll definitely be something we cover. And I also heard you on the previous episode, Mike, we're definitely going to have you for Hudson Hawk, for sure.
Oh, we love Hudson Hawk. One of the best movies ever.
Seth, have you seen Zombie Cop?
No, I'm all in on Hudson Hawk.
Because Zombie Cop is quite horrible.
All in on
that'll probably be in it for sure too. Like anything bad, we're kind of just going through the list. I think what we got so far is Dolomite. We did the Fateful Findings. I know Troll 2 is on the list.
Have you seen Two Idiots in Hollywood?
You seen which one?
Two Idiots in Hollywood.
No.
It is hilariously terrible. I think you can find the whole thing on YouTube. The people who produce it absolutely don't care at this point.
a lot of these people.
And it only had like 100 views.
The only person that cares is Neil Breen, because apparently if you want his movie, you can find it on Pornhub, or you can order it from him. And he sends it to you in a little DVD case and, like, ships it in the mail. And I hear it's a very confusing process to order the movies from him. We've really had to search around the internet to find a download file. But if you're in the Facebook group, they do watch parties. So if Facebook will allow us to put the movie on, which there's a few movies they'll let you do. They do watch parties, so you can join the group, and hey, if you can catch the movie, you go up there and chat with everybody, and we all talk and joke on the movies as they play. And we're trying to do that with almost every movie at least all the movies that we can cover. We're doing watch parties so that you can watch it with me, Ryan, and Ian, who are on the podcast, and you can watch it with us on Facebook. So, yeah.
Tommy, what do you got over there? You look like you got something to say.
No, I was just going to say, you know, because my good friend Tom tried to get me to watch Zombie Cop, and it was so goddamn awful I couldn't watch more than 20 minutes of it. But yeah.
Wait, are you talking about Zombie Cop? That's just a bad movie, though. Wait, are you talking about Zombie Cop? No. Are you talking about Zombie Cop, which I don't like, or Officer Down?
No, Zombie Cop.
No, Officer Down is the Zombie Cop movie I like. If you haven't seen Officer Down, D-O-W-N-E. It is one of the greatest movies ever created about a zombie cop who comes back to life every single night and looks exactly like Seth, by the way, and wreaks vengeance on the planet. Seth, have you seen Zombie Cop? I mean, Officer Down?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you son of a bitch. You gotta go see Officer Down. His last name, by the way, is D-O-W-N-E.
Nice.
He gets killed every night. They bring him back every day. It is the greatest zombie cop movie ever, and it's awesome.
I'm going to check it out.
Netflix, I want to talk to you about it next week. Who else has got some plugs?
Well, I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And if you are in Reno in November, we're going to hopefully be doing some panels at the Reno Pop Culture Con. Yeah, that's right. I just announced it to the rest of the long box guys.
I can fly to Reno, no problem.
When is that, Mike?
That's a great question. In November. Something. I'm putting in for panels this weekend.
Do it up. Donnie, who's your favorite artist?
Artist?
Come on, you got like 20 of her paintings.
Oh, Nin Chang.
Well, plug her, man.
Nin's a great artist. You can go to ninchang.art. She's got a bunch of stuff you can buy. You can find her on Twitch. If you're an aspiring artist, she'll give you a little bit of help here and there. Give you a little pointer.
That's just terrific.
Great artist.
Josh, anything to plug?
Friendly Neighborhood Comics, Epic Nerd Camp, Christmas, Halloween. Love those things.
I love Christmas.
Get in there. Let's do some of that. But go ahead.
Mikey, anything to plug?
I'd like to also plug Hijinks Comics in San Jose, California. I ran across it just the other day, went in and talked to the owner, and got some back issues that I needed on the cheap. He even gave me a discount to cover the taxes.
Nice.
Hijinks Comics.
God damn you, California sales tax.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
One of my favorite parts of the Headless Horseman TV series was they go to a Dunkin' Donuts. Nothing more New England than a Dunkin' Donuts. He sees a 20% sales tax, and he wants to revolt. 20% on a pastry? We killed people for 9% tea tax, but you'll pay 20% for a donut. That was hilarious to me. Just to me.
Yep. Just to you.
Just to me. It's all right. All right. I think that's going to do it for the long box, guys.
I would like to add a plug.
Yeah.
I would like to plug Angry Johnny and the Killbillies. Angry Johnny is suffering from cancer. Mm-hmm. So I would like everybody who likes psychobilly music to go to getangry.com and listen to Angry Johnny's music. And if you like it, go buy some of his CDs and support him because he could use the extra cash.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that. Angry Johnny has been someone I've listened to and loved for many years. He has taught me, among other things, that the lap dance is always better if the stripper's crying.
Once again, you have that wrong. That is the Bloodhound Cake.
Damn it! I always think that's Angry Johnny every single time.
And you're always wrong. Time.
And I'm always wrong.
Always.
And that does it for us here at the Long Box Guys. I'm going to leave by being wrong. Thanks for all of us here at the Long Box Guys, and we do love you all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I really enjoyed your podcast on the latest Spider-Man Far From Home. And I enjoyed it because I actually got to hear somebody talk about it because these fuckers haven't seen it yet.
I love Spider-Man Far From Home. That was a great movie.
I haven't seen it.
Without spoiling anything, I will agree that I think the next villain is going to be Kraven.